What's happening? This is Ryan Leslie, your host for Work Radio's Art of the Hustle. I'm so excited right now for you to tune into this first episode with Genius co-founder Elon Zakouri. Elon shares some incredible insights into how Genius came to fruition, how he manages work-life balance, and what he does to help him work more efficiently. Without further ado, let's get right into it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, turn up your radios right now if you're listening to the radio. This is the WeWork podcast, Art of the Hustle. We're here at the WeWork headquarters, 18th Street, New York City, one of my favorite cities. And we're here with one of the foremost, I would say, entrepreneurs of my generation. Want to make sure we give a really big sort of round of applause internally. My guy, Mr. Elon Zakouri. Now let's start here with the pronunciation. Did I get that right?
You nailed it.
Okay,
just good. Like my mom says it.
Okay, good. What's the background of the name?
My dad is from Israel.
Okay,
so it's a Hebrew name, and if you try to pronounce my last name in Hebrew, it sort of sounds like you got a hairball or something.
What does it sound? Do it.
Zakouri.
That's good.
So that's how my his brother says it.
Okay. All right. Nice, bro. Nice. So we're here. Art of the Hustle, we're talking to and about just the hustle that is being a startup entrepreneur, founder, investor, whatever it may be. And so what we want to get into is just a little bit of the backstory of you, how you got into being entrepreneurially spirited, and what can people take away from, your experience and things that, maybe you weren't able to get from a mentor at the time when you were getting started, and things that you would tell your self 5 years ago if you were just, how long ago did Rap Genius actually start? Genius Now.
So Genius Now Rap Genius, it was August 2009, so we just had our 7th birthday.
Wow.
And we've been at it for a really long time, and back putting myself in the mindset of when we started, it was real scrappy, and it was doing something for fun. It was not about escaping. Rap Genius was not about escaping the 9-to-5 as much as it was something we wanted to do over the weekend.
Right.
It was something that came out of a very organic conversation about music and what was going on in some songs, and also at the same time getting excited about programming and making stuff on the internet. So it was kind of a lucky thing.
Right. I mean, I have a rap lyric actually off my latest album. It says, I feel like a fugitive because I escaped my 9-to-5 and graduated to that 22, My team eating, best believe we getting money too. So I graduated from, a 9-to-5 to a 22-hour day job. We always got to be on. When people are online, we got to make sure the site is up. And so, I feel you on that. Taking it all the way back to the beginnings, Detroit, middle son, two sisters. Were you the entrepreneur out of the bunch?
Wow. I was the younger of two, and then when I was 18, my mom had another baby, so I'm a late coming middle child.
Okay.
I was sort of the younger brother character in my family, and I was always doing, I was always trying to make stuff and do new stuff, but mostly I was trying to make my family laugh and stuff like that. I wasn't trying to start businesses that much.
Right.
As a little kid, and I sort of say it wasn't to escape the 9-to-5 that we made Rap Genius, which is true, but I really wanted to escape the 9-to-5 too. I mean, I had a few jobs, after college, and I even gambled a little bit. I was pretty into like the poker scene
and
playing online poker and some poker tournaments and stuff. And I had some friends who did that too, and was just really had an impulse, and an intuition that I wasn't meant for the big company and the butts in seats. I wanted some freedom in my life. And that was a big part of why I got into technology and why I was gravitated toward the friends that I started Rap Genius with. We all had that mentality, something dissatisfied about, unsatisfying about the grind of working at a big company. And we made a bunch of stuff. The truth is we built several things before we built Rap Genius, and those were more with the mindset of maybe we can make some money. We built a site that sold bed sheets.
Mm-hmm.
We built something that was essentially Venmo before Venmo on the Facebook application platform, and it was called Fliff, and a couple other things just to sort of, we had heard from somebody, I don't remember who, and I think it's really good advice. you know, if you want to build something good, like build 20 things.
Right.
And you don't know if it's going to be the first one or the 17th one or the 11th one that resonates with people, but you can't predict it. You know, you can try things, but you don't know what people are going to respond to. And, you know, Rap Genius is what people responded to because it was the most interesting thing we had built.
Right.
You know? And it just worked out that way.
And now let's hear from our brand partner.
Hi, my name is Anna Osgoodby, and I'm one of the co-founders, along with Mallory Musante, of Bold & Pop. Bold & Pop is a branding, web design, and digital marketing firm, and we use Squarespace for all of our client websites and also ours. We're really bold and colorful, and Squarespace is super visual. And even though we were actually, you know, had more experience doing the digital marketing aspect and the branding, we had so many people come to us because they loved our website. So we really kind of started developing our websites and designing everything through Squarespace. And that's been really great for our clients. Again, this is Anna, and I built my business's website on Squarespace, and you can too. Save 10% with the code WORK.
Now back to the art of the hustle.
So you touched on a lot. I want to dig into a few of those topics. But I think the most interesting piece of just the last piece that you said is if you want to build something great, you build a lot of things. And so me as a music producer, man, I remember actually just when I first got signed to Puff in 2003, I was actually making 9 beats a day, you know, and you never know which one of those beats is going to be you be killing them or which one of those beats is going to be me and you, Cassie, right? But you just make them, you go with what you feel. And I think Quincy Jones actually told me one time, he said, look, Ryan, if you want to give people goosebumps, you have to have the goosebumps about something you've created if you actually want to, you know, pass those on. And so just backing up. First off, so being a young kind of entrepreneurially minded person, what's different about, I would say, like a lot of like music and street entrepreneurs, rap entrepreneurs, if you will, they have a different background than the two of us. I went to Harvard, you went to Yale, you met Tom at Yale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's your co-founder.
Yeah, Tom's really, really more so than I am the really passionate technologist. You know, Tom was so obsessed with programming, and I was more of a light dabbler and interested in some of the other sort of interpersonal and you know, it's very hard to describe what being an entrepreneur is, but a lot of it is this sort of amorphous hustle that I know you're very familiar with. But it's just working, you know, it's just working and working and working, doing the best thing you can think you can do, and just doing your best and not quitting. And you know, Tom and I were a great pair. We really loved each other, and we had a good sort of creative friction where we disagreed a lot, but always enjoyed each other's company, and you know, knew how to fight and make up.
Right.
And it was that, you know, with that tension that you know, we woke up every day and worked together, and it was great. You know, we have a real creative relationship. Tom's fascinated with it. You know, fascinated with everything he gets into. So whether it's a TV show, a subject in philosophy, or whatever. But so Tom was getting to rap. He said, and with our friends talking about it, he's like, this is so amazing. Like, I can't believe I wasn't listening to this my whole life. Like, this is so interesting. And he'd ask questions and we'd say, well, this is what this is about. And I actually don't know. Let's look up. Oh, this. And so, you know, it was really organic conversation, like just late night listening to Cameron and Tom saying, you know, what did he say? First of all, like, what was that line again? Stop it there. And we were like, he said this, Tom, like, stop being so like annoying. And he's like, wait, but what does that mean? And it was actually just such an interesting conversation. There was literally a moment when Tom was like, there should be a website for this.
Right.
And we were like, yeah, you know, we're in this mode of making websites and, you know, it was basically the first version of it. So much has changed about the product and how it works. But the first version, the basic idea was the same, which was you got the song, you got the lyrics, you click on a lyric and you can find out what it means, or you can say what you think it means.
Right.
And you know, we've been tweaking that idea tremendously for years, but the basic idea was you want to go deeper on something you enjoy. And
right.
Like, that's the whole idea. And you want to invite people who have knowledge to share it with people who want that knowledge. And so it was really kind of like just this moment of like, we're having this conversation. Rap music is fascinating. And let's bring that to people.
So you wouldn't say that it was driven by, I guess, you guys' respective majors at Yale?
Well, I was a religious studies major at Yale. And I wrote about like new fringe religious movements. And I learned a lot, and it's informed how I look at the world. But definitely, I was mostly just listening to rap right. when I was walking to class. You right. know, like Get Rich or Die Trying came out my first week of college, and it's actually one of my favorite stories that illustrates what we were talking about earlier about do a lot of stuff, and you don't know what's going to resonate, what has the goosebumps. It's you know, I've talked to Jimmy Iovine, Paul Rosenberg, Chris Lighty, and Eminem. And Paul Rosenberg, all about Into Club and how they picked it as the first single
right.
from Get Rich or Die Tryin'. And they all have slightly different stories about the meeting and who said what to who and whatever. And they were, you know, not sure. Nobody yeah. knew. Nobody was like, this is the magic song. I guarantee this is what's going to resonate. And they were really throwing it around and debating what the song was. And it was almost like a toss up. At the end of the day, they were like, it's good. Let's just go with it. And then, of course, it was like the smash hit.
Massive.
And I forget the other song. It was one of the songs that never came out as a single. That was the other song they were
really,
yeah. It's like If I Had or something. It was not like Many Men or whatever.
Right.
And it was a song that if you listen to it, you're like, I can't believe
that was
that Into Club didn't smash it. But
right.
you just the truth is you just don't have a crystal ball. Like
right.
you can't focus group it enough. You know, it just is what it is. But that was a classic example. If you go to Into Club on Genius now, you get those stories from the different people talking about it.
Right.
You can read about it.
That's incredible. I remember talking to Ben Horowitz. We share an investor in Ben. I was talking to him about Genius, and he was just so excited about the idea of, you know, originally the internet was about information, and his entire view, which I believe he shared with you guys, or you brought him to this, or maybe you could tell me a little bit about it. But his entire view was that the reason why he was so excited about Genius was because his view was, look, we have enough information and indexing of information, but the real vibe, the real value, the real holy grail of the next wave is going to be information about the information. So where did that come from? Was that him talking about it? Was that you guys in your product iteration coming upon that? Talk to me.
I think it was, as you say, it was like, it was a perfect match.
Right.
Where we didn't feed that idea to him by any means. He always says information about the information or knowledge about the knowledge. Those are things that Ben likes to say. And we
right.
always love those expressions, but it was kind of the perfect match because here was Ben who, not only is kind of like one of the smartest people ever, who's an amazing organizational thinker, psychological thinker, company builder, just a genius. And he also loves rap music, knows so much about rap music. So he was just uniquely positioned to basically see what we were doing and play around with it and basically be like, wow, do you know how hard it is to get a good answer to the meaning and the knowledge about rap? For all of rap and like to have that work. And he, you know, you go to a normal venture capitalist and they'll say, okay, cool, lyrics and some meaning or whatever. And Ben was like, I look up this song that I think I only know about
right.
and I click on it and some random person from the internet, you facilitated that.
Right.
And he understood the power of that because he understood technology, understood culture. And, you know, it was really a match made in heaven for us to meet Ben, who's been, you know, with us since, you know, 2012.
Wow.
And been, you know, our mentor and our friend since then.
Yeah, for sure.
It's amazing.
Man, let's move on a little bit. Let's move into your current day-to-day. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the Hustler's playbook day-to-day? Like, you have some interesting intricacies, all right? So we did some research. And so you and Tom, I picked up a little bit earlier, you said we loved each other. Hope you guys still love each other.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah,
all right,
yeah.
All right.
I was just sort of talking about that moment in time.
Yeah, in time.
We continue to love each
right.
other.
Right. So I don't remember where I read this, but I read an article that said that you guys go to couples counseling or have been before.
What was the name of that minor publication? New York Times.
Right.
It was a kind of embarrassing article in some ways, but also true. You know, we wanted to get it out there because we talked to so many young co-founders. You know, I'm not like we're like grizzled veterans. We're still figuring out our lives. But like, you know, you meet people who are starting companies like a Y Combinator or other people who hit you up for advice. And so often the conversation leads to emotions and how you get through the days and what gets in the way of productivity. And a lot of times it's anger. It's communication. It's stuff like that, and it's not about solving a technical problem. I mean, that's obviously huge. It's not about marketing, but that's obviously huge. But a lot of times it's just you can't get along and you get blocked from doing work because you're not relating to people. And Tom and I have benefited a lot. You know, it's not quite, you know, it's therapy, but it's like counseling, coaching, whatever it is. There's a guy we go see every week, and we talk through stuff. And you know, we do it with outside of the couch as well, of course. But it's super helpful to have somebody who can observe and be knowledgeable and reflect back to you some of what he's hearing.
Right.
And we think that...
You guys still do this to this day?
Yeah, we did this morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we were there this morning, and we had a really good one.
What's an important takeaway for people that, you know, are starting up? They want to conserve cash. They probably don't want to put it on the books either personally or professionally to go and see a counselor or a coach. Mm-hmm. What's a breakthrough or something that you could share from that process that people would say, you know what, that's absolutely right. Something that resonated with you guys as co-founders.
That's a really good question. I think there's so many, but I'll choose one that I really like. I mean, this isn't like the be-all, end-all, but it's one that I really like. When you have something you want to bring up, it's inevitable. You have a co-founder, they're going to upset you. They're going to make you mad. Something they do is going to trigger you. When you want to bring it up, you can bring it up. You have to bring it up, first of all, because if you don't bring it up, it's going to come out of your skin. It's going to come out in your tone. You're going to bring it up if you don't want to bring it up anyway, and you're going to do it in an unskillful way. So the way to bring it up that's good is you start out by establishing that I call it like you're for the relationship.
Right.
You know, I say to Tom, like, I got something I want to bring up, but first of all, I want you to know that, like, you're my buddy and I love you and like I'm for this relationship. I'm not trying to run from anything here. And so then you bring up what the problem is and you say, here's the problem. And then you say, like, you know, what's your perspective on this? You hear their perspective. And maybe you guys are right there on the same page already. If you're not, you can kind of work through it. And whatever happens at the end of the conversation, you say, okay, that's a good conversation. Like, it feels like we're on the same page. Just want to tell you, like, I'm glad we had that. And I'm all about our relationship. Like, it seems phony, but people feel everyone, doesn't matter what personality type you have, like, everyone feels threatened when someone's angry at them. And sometimes you fucked up. You have I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on this podcast, you know, it's threatening, you know, when someone's upset with you and you did something and it can put you in a defensive position. So it's good to reassure someone when you're upset about something that it's not existential.
Right.
It's just about this thing. It's not about our relationship being under threat. And that's not an intuitive thing. You know, that's something that I think is hard to do when you're angry, but it's important to get the results that you want, which is you don't have to waste half a day on this. You can just have 10 minutes and you're good.
Yeah. And I mean, I know we're talking about this in the context of like a marriage of sorts between, you know, co-founders. But I mean, I also, you know, I follow the IG, man. I see the posts, man. And, you know, I think there's a lot of folks who, if they saw your profile, they would have a hashtag relationship goals because, you know, you seem to have found, I see you wearing a ring, you found the love of your life. And so does that translate into your home life, those same learnings that you take away? Do you actually do couples coaching with your actual spouse as well?
We just got married this year.
Right.
So thank you. And that's my wife. I love her. And, and all of this relationship stuff is applicable. So I've learned a lot in my relationship with Tom.
Right.
That applies to my relationship with Audrey.
Right.
And I am learning and have learned a lot in my relationship with Audrey that I can bring back to Tom. They're different.
Yes.
They're really different.
Right.
But a lot of the same stuff, like the thing I just said, applies in a romantic relationship too. Of course.
How do you even manage a romantic relationship when you have like one of the fastest growing startups? I mean, I know amongst my homeboys, when we talk about genius and we talk about, you know, where it came from, watching it from 2009. I mean, my first album came out in 2009. And so to see that actually grow from that idea, I remember when how much have you guys raised in total capital so far?
$57 million,
right? So a lot of young startup founders, that's a dream of theirs, to actually bring enough value into the world that folks validate that with investments. Say, look, we want you guys have a long runway. What would you say? How do you actually balance an actual married personal life with that kind of growth?
You know, it's you got to have humility. You got to not ever think you have it all figured out. And you got to just, you know, it's funny, like little slogans like one day at a time, you know, slowing down. I think it depends on what type of person you are. But like I have a tendency to think a lot. You know,
yeah.
Think really fast. I want to solve the problem. I want to fix it. I want to do everything. And sometimes it's really more about letting go and realizing that the world is going to play out.
Yeah.
And you can't control every second of everything. And that's one of my things that I got to fight against. Other people probably don't work hard enough and aren't thinking enough. And so like they got to think of it differently. So there's no one size fits all. But in terms of like balancing, like having a marriage, getting married, having a company and all that stuff, you gotta, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle, and you've got to marshal your own. It's like you think about it like a war, you know, like you've got an invading army of things in life, you know, just too much going on, you know, too much to do well, and you got to fight it. It's a fight. Like you want to think like, oh, everything's just fine. Don't worry about it. It's like, it's not. Like you got to fight it. And for me, like I know some things that help me fight. Like, I got to marshal my armies, and one of my armies is going to the gym. Like,
right.
I got to go to the gym. If I don't go to the gym, I'm not going to be happy. And it's not like every day, but like I need to feel good.
Right.
And I need to do things for myself. Like I need to do my meditation. Like if I slip up on my meditation, like it affects me. Like so these, you know, this is the type of thing, and like you don't want to think of life as just always like a war or whatever, but like you got to rally the troops. You got to work. And so sometimes I wake up and I'm feeling groggy as shit. And I drag my ass to the gym,
right?
Because I know it's worth it,
right? Give me a quick smattering, sure, if you will, of the reading list.
Well,
even an article, blog post.
The book, you know, when it comes to literature, what comes to mind is I really love Russian literature. I really love Russian novels, and I think if I'm feeling a little bit like untethered from maybe the deeper reality stream or whatever, I really love the book, Dostoevsky's book, The Brothers Karamazov.
Yes.
That is, to me, just, it's a challenging book in a lot of ways, a long book. It's got a lot of different Russian names that you got to be able to follow, but it actually is, people are intimidated by that, but it actually kind of reads like a mystery novel. Like, there's a clear plot, incredibly easy to follow sort of scenes and dialogue and whatever. So if you have any interest in cracking that book, like, it's rewarding. It's a deep book about how you can feel multiple things at once, and how you can feel joy and despair at the same time, how you can want something and not want something at the same time, how you can love and hate the same exact thing in extreme ways. You know, it's been a book that gave me a lot of wisdom. I love that book.
Do you have a kind of go-to business book, if you will? I was just hanging with Ja Rule actually last night at the Kith show. He was backstage and saying, "Man, Brian, you know, I like what's going on with technology and music." And you know, when I wanted to first get into it, somebody recommended the book Venture Deals. And he's like, "Oh man, so that's why, you know, I felt like I couldn't jump into conversations yet, but I read the book and I felt like I could understand better when I was in rooms with those people." Do you have a business primer that you would recommend for somebody, or that you had for yourself, or was your business primer actually real conversations with like Ben Horowitz and Dan Gilbert?
The truth is, like, I think I've taken a lot of business knowledge from non-business books. You know, I think the best advice I could give, if someone's like, "What book should I read to do business?" I'd say go on a 10-day silent meditation retreat. Like, don't read it, but like if you want to really learn something, like, you have the answers. Don't look in outside you. But I will say, definitely there are books with a lot of great stuff in it too. And like, I think the one that I liked the most was Ben's book, The Hard Thing About Hard Things. Like, the lesson of that book was, you're gonna wake up in a cold sweat. It's gonna get messy. It's gonna get complicated. Perseverance and, you know, sharing stories, like, you know, Ben's book was probably the most inspiring. It obviously helped that I know him, but like I know a lot of people who don't know him have read that book and wow, this is helpful. So
yeah.
I've read some other books. You know, I think the there's some books about management that are good, like The High Output Management is a good one if you want to know how to conduct a one-on-one. Like there's some technical reality to like management where it's not just emotions and intuition and stories. Like, you know, High Output Management is good. But Ben's book is amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I have two copies of that book, actually. I made him sign both of them. The pre-release and the real hard copy. He had to sign both. He put, like, I think the second one, the inscription was like, stay strong in the struggle, you know?
Yeah.
And man, Ben's really the homie, man. He was just like sitting across the table from you. There's like a kindred.
And there's other people out there like us too. There's dozens of them who just think about Ben and be like, man, like I owe a lot to Ben.
Yeah, for sure.
He's the man.
For sure. So around working out, you were saying that, you know, you make time to go to the gym. What's your sport of choice? Do you have a
New York City is the worst for that. You know, like I feel like if I lived in the suburbs or something, I'd be playing tennis or something like that, but, or maybe more basketball.
Right.
But really I just go to the gym and just work out. You know?
Right.
I just go like, you know, I do my jump rope routine. I do my stretches, I lift some weights and, you know, sometimes I go hard and sometimes I think everyone's like, this guy's just walking around, I work out.
So if you could play a round of, I mean, do they call it a round of tennis or a match of tennis? Right. Or if you could play a pickup game of basketball with anybody or with three people, who would they be that you haven't interacted with before? Just like people that you have interacted with and would love to see him on a basketball or tennis court.
I'm a big sports fan.
Okay.
So definitely there's a lot of athletes who I grew up with who, you know, it's like the stupidest answer ever, but like, I would kill to compete in anything with MJ. I just want to feel what it's like to have the competition. But, you know, basketball might be just like, what's the point? You know,
right.
But like, I go golf with MJ or whatever because like, just to see his face, you know, competing. Like, I'd like to gamble, you know, gamble on some tennis with Michael Jordan or something. That would be an exhilarating feeling. And, you know, I think I've always, growing up, I was a Pistons fan. So Jordan was my nemesis. And so there's that, but you know, on the Pistons, like I always loved, and the Bulls too, of course, but I always loved Dennis Rodman.
Mm.
So I just always thought it was so amazing that a guy who was not the tallest, biggest guy could be that dominant of a rebounder, because it just made me feel like there's something special in that guy's like will,
right?
That I want to experience like firsthand too. So it'd be cool to like play tennis with Dennis Rodman, maybe go bowling with Dennis Rodman or something. if you got the hookup,
yeah.
You know?
For sure. I don't think I can get you to Dennis.
Well,
there's a few basketball players.
I
got a few I can introduce you to. So I want to end off with just two questions I always ask everyone. And the first one is about nuances, right? So one of Warren Buffett's nuances is that he only takes one meeting a day, I think, and then spends the rest of his time reading, thinking about, you know, subjects that are relevant to his business. Do you have a nuance? Do you have something that's really just part of your daily process that you feel is unique to you or people like you?
Yes. There's one thing that I think is extremely important that I tell myself, and I don't always succeed at it, but I really try to keep it consistent, which is don't just sit down at your computer.
Mm.
Like, I don't go to work and just sit down and open up the computer. Like, and it's about intention. It's like, I will go, I'll stand up, maybe I'll get my pad of paper out. And I do, I don't have like a consistent system or whatever, but I will figure out what am I trying to do before I sit down at the computer. And I think that's, you know, I say computer because I'm like 32, but phone is what people should be thinking about, is like, don't just take your phone out of your pocket and look at it.
Right.
And like, that's hard, man. Like this is a crack in your pocket. And like,
yeah.
But if you don't live that like with some intention, like you're gonna waste a ton of time. And
yes.
So I'm really big into like picking one to three things I want to accomplish before I look at any technology. That's a huge one for me.
I love that. I need to incorporate that because I definitely pick up that. I mean, my whole platform is that I get texts from,
which I love.
I'm on text with 60,000 people, right?
So
like, I really do just reach through, and you're right. You can easily just get thrown down a rabbit hole, and that's on any social platform. Mine is text, obviously, but like Instagram, Snapchat, Genius even.
And I also want to tell people out there, like, don't beat yourself up for failing at that too. Like the skill is in, is falling down and picking up. Like, if you know, I'll have bad days where I'm like, I was playing with my phone almost all day and I got a lot of work done, but did I get anything done? And like, you know, don't beat yourself up over it. Just try to remember what you're trying to do.
Right. My last question and this is always the kicker, if you could trade jobs with anybody in the world, who would it be? Why? If you could trade jobs. You can always, I mean, I'm not going to lead you.
I think it would be like, you know, it's so corny. I'm just a boy. You know, I'd be like Odell Beckham Jr. So, like, I just like want to be like a swag, like wide receiver or something.
Right.
Like, you know, maybe not, I don't know, concussions and whatnot.
Yeah.
But like, I think in terms of just doing something interesting in the world that's relevant to my interests, which is like working with people, doing something somewhat literary, which I like, you know, doing something about knowledge, doing something with technology, music, like, I got a great job. I get stressed. I complain, but I'm pretty happy. And it's really hard for me to answer that question, which is a sign that I should be not complaining so much.
Right.
But yeah, I think it would be like, you know, it would be like a wide receiver or something.
For a day. You would do it for a day, right?
I think it'd be pretty fun to catch touchdown passes. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, like Antonio Brown, you know, right. That'd be pretty fun.
Right. That's really it, man. You know, anything else you want to give to the people? You already told people they can reach you. ilan@genius.com if you want to connect with the homie. And yeah, man, that's the art of the hustle.
I would just say keep following Ryan, man. Like, Ryan is one of the most remarkable hustlers on the planet, and so keep listening to Ryan, watching Ryan, and soaking in what Ryan's doing, and keep working hard, and good luck.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. All right, that's it. And if you like what you heard today, make sure you come back and check out more Art of the Hustle stories.
For more about Art of the Hustle, go to iHeartRadio.com/Art of the Hustle.